Today's study is number 10 in our series of studies entitled Bible Controversies. This series has us looking at some of the doctrines in the Bible, about which there is often quite a bit of disagreement and discord among Christians. Now, over the last several broadcasts, we examined the doctrine of the Lord's return, and we saw that the major reason for controversy and disagreement existing on that subject is because of the common failure of Christians to rightly divide the word of truth, and so keep what the Bible teaches about the Lord's return to Israel separate and distinct from what it teaches about the Lord's special return for us at the end of this dispensation of Gentile grace. There are two distinct doctrines concerning the return of the Lord in the Bible, one pertaining to God's program with Israel, and the other pertaining to God's program with us today, the church, the body of Christ. And if we don't recognize this and end up mixing together the teachings about these two separate events, confusion and disagreement is all we can expect. Improper Bible handling is the major reason for Bible controversies, and we clearly saw that to be the case with the doctrine of the Lord's return. Now, folks, in today's study, we are going to begin to look at another Bible controversy, and that is the controversy surrounding the doctrine of water baptism. I suppose of all the Bible controversies that we are going to look at in this series, water baptism is the one with the most varied forms of disagreement and controversy. For example, there is common disagreement about the meaning of water baptism. There is disagreement about how it should be administered. There is disagreement about when it should be administered. There is disagreement about who can administer it and who can receive it. There is disagreement about where it should be administered. In fact, folks, there is disagreement and controversy on just about anything you could possibly consider about water baptism. But folks, none of these points of disagreement exist because God is somehow vague or unclear in what he teaches about water baptism in the Bible. As with all Bible controversies, God is not the one at fault. Instead, we are. And as we will see in our examination of the doctrine of water baptism, improper Bible handling is at the root of all the disagreement and controversy surrounding it, just as it is with all the Bible controversies we are looking at. And not surprisingly, the issue of failing to rightly divide the word of truth will once again be seen to be a big factor in this. But we will also see that there are other common forms of improper Bible handling that contribute to the controversy. Other forms like failing to keep verses and passages in their proper context, failing to let the Bible define its own teachings, and failing to go by just what the Bible says, regardless of traditional or popular thinking and practice. Now, folks, as we begin to look at this issue, we need to begin by making sure that we understand one or two real basic matters when it comes to baptism. First, we need to make sure that we recognize that there is more than one kind of baptism spoken about in the Bible. Now, that may sound very simplistic, but failing to recognize that, and thereby failing to understand and appreciate all the different kinds of baptisms that are spoken about in the Bible, this is one of the contributing factors to all the confusion that exists. Then, folks, we also need to make sure that we know exactly what God says a baptism is. We need to have God's definition of baptism. Unfortunately, though, oftentimes Christians don't even know what God means by a baptism. And naturally enough, that also contributes to a great amount of misunderstanding and confusion. So as we get ourselves underway here now, examining the doctrine of water baptism and endeavoring to settle our minds in connection with the subject of it and all the controversy and disagreement that exists among Christians surrounding it, these first two primary fundamental issues have got to be settled in our minds. So I want you to take your Bibles here now and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. To get ourselves underway, turn to Matthew chapter 3, and we want to once again look at the fact that there is more than one kind of baptism spoken about in the Bible. Water baptism is not the only kind of baptism spoken about in the Scriptures. Here in Matthew chapter 3, I want you to look at a verse in particular, verse 11. And in this very verse, verse 11 of Matthew chapter 3, we have three different kinds of baptism being spoken about in one verse. Now, the context here is dealing with John the Baptist's ministry to the nation Israel, as the climactic stage in God's program with Israel began to dawn upon the nation. John the Baptist was the one that God raised up and utilized in his program with Israel to usher in that climactic stage. And he was called John the Baptist. And water baptism was a big issue in his ministry to Israel. But it wasn't the only baptism that Israel needed to concern themselves with. And John declares that here in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11. Let's read the verse together. Matthew 3:11. John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, that's not all John declares, but that's the verse that we're particularly concerned with right now. And you can clearly see by just quickly reading the verse that there are three particular baptisms or kinds of baptisms that John is talking about in this verse. Three particular kinds of baptisms that he was telling the nation Israel they need to be concerned with. He was the one who was baptizing with water. He declares at the beginning of verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." But he declares that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who's coming after him, is also going to be baptizing. But he's not going to be baptizing with water. There's going to be two other kinds of baptism that he is going to be performing, and neither one of them will involve water. Look at what he says once again. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." The Messiah is coming, John says, and he's going to be baptizing also. But when he baptizes, water is not going to be the issue. Water's what I'm baptizing with, John says. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, we're going to be talking about these particular kinds of baptism, these three in particular, in more detail later on in this series of studies. But right now, as we get ourselves underway, the primary thing I'm concerned with is that we lay a proper and a firm foundation when it comes to recognizing that there's more than one kind of baptism. And I'm not talking about more than one kind of water baptism, even though that's also true. But I'm talking about more than one kind of baptism. There's a tendency to every time we think of the word baptism to just assume that we're talking about water baptism. Every time you see it on the pages of God's Word, oftentimes Christians assume that water baptism is the issue. And we got to make sure we recognize that that's not the case. And here in this one verse, once again, we have three different kinds of baptism. Water is one of those kinds, the ones John was administering. But there's two that he says the Messiah was going to administer, and neither one of them involve water. One is called baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the other is baptism with fire. In fact, if we look at these three different kinds of baptism, the water baptism is a wet one. The baptism with the Holy Ghost doesn't involve water at all. That would be a dry baptism, if I can put it that way. And the baptism with fire, well, obviously that doesn't involve water either, but that would be a hot baptism. You have a one that's wet, one that's dry, and one that's hot in this very verse. But all three of them, once again, this is the important point, all three of them are baptisms. Each one of them is a baptism. But one's water, one's dry, and one's with fire, and therefore is hot and has a purging effect to it. In fact, if you look at the very next verse here, verse 12, John goes on to say, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." That baptism with fire that John referred to there in verse 11 was going to end up burning up the chaff as he says, and would be part of the purging of the floor of the nation Israel. It had, it was a purging baptism. But once, we'll talk about that, like I said, in more detail as the series of studies goes on. But the main thing, once again, three different kinds of baptism here in this very one verse. Now, there's even more than just these three kind, and we'll see that in just a few moments here. But before we look at some verses in which some other kinds of baptism are spoken about, let me have you look at a couple of verses that simply refer to the fact that there is more than one kind of baptism. Come with me, if you would, over to the book of Hebrews. And there's two passages here in Hebrews I'd like to have you look at with me. Hebrews chapter 6, first of all. Hebrews chapter 6. Here in Hebrews chapter 6, we'll read the first two verses here, and we'll come across a rather unique expression that's utilized in these two verses. We'll come across the expression, the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now the apostle's talking here about some doctrines that these Hebrew folks have learned in connection with their edification, and he's exhorting them to go on to perfection and not have to have these things laid again. But notice in referring to the foundational doctrines that they have had taught to them, in verse 2, it talks about the doctrine of baptisms. Now, actually, this is a direct reference back to the very passage in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 that we just looked at. Because when John was preaching to the Hebrew people, to the people of Israel, he talked about at least three baptisms they needed to be concerned with. And he taught some things about them, just as we saw there in Matthew chapter 3. The Lord himself, when he came along, taught some further things about each one of those baptisms. And we can find those things in the gospel accounts. And then also, Peter, James, and John, and the other of the 12 apostles to Israel, taught similar issues in the opening chapters of the book of Acts. And this expression here, doctrine of baptisms, is referring primarily to those three kinds of baptisms that Israel in particular needed to be concerned with. But once again, but just by its statement, doctrine of baptisms in the plural, it indicates that there is more than one kind of baptism, and we need to have an understanding and appreciation for the reality of that. We're going to find more than one kind of baptism on the pages of the scriptures. While you're here in Hebrews, come over to chapter 9 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, this is the verse we're going to look at right now in Hebrews 9 is a verse that we're going to come back to later on, especially when we deal with the second of the two foundational matters I want us to examine, when we consider the issue of what a baptism is, God's definition of a baptism. We'll be looking once again at this verse and this passage here in Hebrews 9, because we have some things that are spelled out to us here that give us a clear understanding and appreciation for exactly what a baptism is. But let's kind of set those ideas aside for a moment while we read the verse here and just acknowledge the reality of there being different kinds of baptisms. Hebrews chapter 9 and let's take verse 9 and verse 10. Referring to the tabernacle, verse 9 says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and diverse washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. You see that expression there, diverse washings? The word washings there literally is the word baptisms. And that's why we're going to look at this verse closer when we deal with the definition of baptism, because it's been translated for us with the very meaning that God has for a baptism, a washing. And we'll see that in more detail in due course here. But my point right now is, it is referring to baptisms. That's the subject matter here. And once again, it's in the plural, washings or baptisms, but also notice it's preceded by that word diverse, or diverse. In other words, different kinds of something. Diversities, different kinds. And the apostle is declaring here, in connection with the law contract, the Old Testament covenant, and the tabernacle, there are different kinds of baptisms associated with the ceremonies and so forth of that tabernacle and the service that verse 9 refers to. There were a host of other carnal ordinances that this verse also makes reference to. But once again, here's a verse that plainly declares to us the issue of different kinds of baptisms. When I made the remark when we were back in Matthew chapter 3 about the fact that there are actually different kinds of water baptisms, this verse here and the passage that we have here in Hebrews chapter 9, along with the details sitting back in the law contract itself, especially in the book of Leviticus, are the things I was referring to, because there are different kinds of water baptisms spoken about back there. But once again, the verse makes it plain, as well as the verse in Hebrews 6, and as well as the declaration in Matthew chapter 3, that there's more than one kind of baptism spoken about in the Bible. Now, on the basis, therefore, of what we've seen, especially, for example, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, we know that there are at least three different kinds of baptism. We have at least water baptism, and baptism with the Holy Ghost, and baptism with fire. We have at least those three kinds. But there are more than that spoken about on the pages of God's Word. Let's take a look at least two more examples, so that we have a total of at least five different kinds of baptism, just to alert us to the fact that there's at least more than one. Come over, if you would, with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll see here in the epistle of 1 Corinthians at least two more different kinds of baptism spoken about on the pages of God's Word. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Well, let's take verses 12 and 13 together here. The Apostle Paul says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made made to drink into one Spirit." Notice once again in verse 13, Paul says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Here we have baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, first of all, there's no water associated with this either. This is a baptism by the Holy Spirit. A man does not perform this. God the Holy Spirit performs this. And it's not into a tank of water or anything along those lines. It's into the body of Christ. This baptism does not involve water either. You also need to notice, though, this baptism is different from being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to develop that at this present moment. We'll do that in due course as we go down through this series of studies. But since we did notice back in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist talking about Christ baptizing with the Holy Ghost, that sounds very similar to what's being stated here. And oftentimes Christians confuse the two. But they are actually two different baptisms. The one that John referred to in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, he specifically stated that Christ would baptize with the Holy Ghost. But here it's very clear that the Apostle Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit baptizing into Christ. And though the terminology sounds similar, it's very clear when you look at it that they're talking about two different things. In Matthew 3:11, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it's the Holy Spirit himself who is the baptizer into Christ. Now, we'll talk about that distinction and everything, as I said, in more detail in due course. But this now needs to be recognized by us as another different kind of baptism spoken about on the pages of God's Word. And once again, no water is involved in this baptism. So right now, as far as our list is concerned, we have four different kinds of baptism, and only one of them involves water. Two of them are completely dry, to put it that way, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, or being baptized by the Holy Ghost into Christ. And of course, the baptism with fire is completely dry also, but it's also a judgmental type baptism, and it has a purging effect, but it's a different kind of baptism. Well, while you're still here in 1 Corinthians, come back two chapters to chapter 10. And notice here that the Apostle Paul talks about another kind of baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is a baptism that, as he makes historical reference to what went on in time past in God's program with Israel, especially at the time that God brought Israel out of Egypt, he talks about a baptism that took place at that time. Now, we have a tendency to think, as we'll read the passage here, that in view of going through the Red Sea, that water was involved in that baptism. But as we'll see, the Apostle Paul says, no, that's not the case. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and did all eat the same," verse 2, "and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Paul's talking about what took place when in God's time past dealings with the nation Israel, he brought them out of the land of Egypt. A baptism took place at that time. But notice how unique and special this baptism was. First of all, it was a national baptism. As Paul says in verse 1, "I would not have you to be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." It was a national baptism for the people of Israel at that time. And notice it says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. But notice when it says in the cloud and in the sea, when you go back, of course, and read the account, and I'm sure you're familiar with it anyway, but when you go back and read the account, no one of the nation Israel got wet. Even though they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, of course, was parted for them to go across the Red Sea, and as it says, they went across on dry ground. None of them got wet. The ones that actually got wet were the Egyptians when they tried to follow across and the waters came back down and they were all drowned. But a baptism nevertheless took place at this time for the nation Israel. And even though water was present, it wasn't employed in the sense that none of them got wet. So strictly speaking, this is not a water baptism either. In fact, it's spoken about as being baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, my concern once again at this present time is simply a recognition of the different kinds of water, of baptism, I should say, that we find on the pages of God's Word. And water baptism is not the only kind of baptism. Now, in this brief consideration in today's lesson, we've just looked at some passages in which we have at least 5 different kinds of baptism clearly identified for us, one of which is a water baptism. The other 4 don't involve water at all. And there's more than this. Time just doesn't permit us to examine them in today's lesson. And even when you consider water baptism itself, as I've made reference to already, there are different kinds of water baptism. And therefore, folks, my point once again is that we need to have settled in our minds, as we begin this study on the doctrine of water baptism, we need to have it settled in our minds that there's more than one kind of baptism, so that every time we come across the word baptism on the pages of the Bible, we don't automatically assume water is the issue. Unfortunately, Christians commonly do that. And there's a lot of things that Christians say about water baptism that aren't true. And the reason why they say it is because they're dealing with a passage talking about an entirely different kind of baptism, but they make the erroneous assumption that water is the issue. And they do that because, in their thinking, water baptism is the only one that there is. Well, hopefully by quickly realizing and being shown that there's more than one kind, at least 5 different kinds, we can avoid making that mistake in our studies together. We also need to recognize, though, that by recognizing that there are at least 5 different kinds of baptism, and of the 5 we examined, only 1 was water baptism, this really ought to alert us to the fact that water baptism is not necessarily the most important baptism God speaks about in the Bible, since he has other kinds of baptisms, and they outnumber the water baptism, at least in this brief examination we've had, 4-1, it should tell us that water baptism is not necessarily the most important one of all. Well, folks, we're just beginning this study, and there is a lot more that we need to know and look at and learn as we examine this issue together. But it's important, once again, that we understand and appreciate this basic issue first. And next time, we'll look at the second basic issue, and that's the issue of God's definition of baptism. And that's a crucial thing for us to have. There's a lot of misunderstanding and misassumptions that exist and disagreements that exist because Christians don't hold God's definition of baptism in their mind. Well, folks, this brings us to the close of today's broadcast. I'm certainly glad once again you were able to join us, and I hope you'll be able to join us next week as we continue on with this new series of studies on the controversy and doctrine surrounding water baptism. If you would like a cassette tape copy of today's study, or a listing of available literature and tapes to help you understand and enjoy the Bible, simply send us a note with your request. The number of today's study to request is number 129.